Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Violet Reiki Radio. I would like to thank the founders of the Seika Network for giving me this wonderful opportunity to bring this show to the public, where we are talking about Reiki and all things surrounding Reiki, its discovery, roots, practice, and more. Reiki is a universal life force energy and is an intelligent energy of love and wholeness. It understands the cause of problems and what healing is necessary. The Reiki energy has a wisdom of its own, healing and balancing all aspects of a person's mind, body, emotions, and spirit. Reiki is a blessing, an instantaneously conferred sacred potential for healing, protection, personal and spiritual development. My name is Rose Jimenez, and my Reiki practice is called Violet Rose Reiki. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on most social media, Violet Rose Reiki. I also have a website, www.violetrosereiki.com, and on Facebook I have a page which is entitled Reiki Ward. And Reiki Ward was set up almost 3 years ago, and it was for distance healing. It's free distance healing for anyone who wishes to avail themselves of it. You just post the same way you would post on Facebook, on anyone else's wall or on any other page, your request for healing. If you have a request to healing for yourself or a family member, you would put up a post request and tell us a little bit about it, and we will then repost it to the ward, to the practitioners on the ward, and everybody gets on board and sends Reiki distance healing. We've had really a great amount of help. We have many practitioners practicing there and helping us out. So it's a great place to get free distance healing for yourself, your friends, your family. We also do animals, and it's just a wonderful place. So visit Reiki Ward. Please like the page, share it with your friends and your family. If anyone would like to write me an email, if you have any questions, my email is rose@violetrosereiki.com. And I will answer any and all questions you have regarding Reiki and Reiki subjects. The call-in number for the show this evening, as always, here in studio, is 347-677-0699. My guest this evening is Lisa Aston. Lisa is an Usui Tibetan Reiki Ryoho master, and she's also a pet bereavement counselor. She does animal Reiki, spiritual counselor. She's a transformational coach, spiritual intuitive, and as I said, amazing animal Reiki practitioner. And we're going to get Lisa on and momentarily, and we'll have her tell us a bit about her Reiki journey, and we will be discussing Reiki. And please feel free to call in. As I said, the call-in number is 347-677-0699. I'm going to play a brief public service announcement, and then we'll bring Lisa on.
Hi, I'm Restita De Jesus.
And I'm Robert Deal.
We're the founders of the Seika Network on blogtalkradio.com.
And we've got some great events that we'd like to share with you.
On July 6th through the 11th, 2014, the International Tai Chi Chuan Symposium will present an exciting event where five Tai Chi Grandmasters, each representing the traditional Chen, Yang, Wu Hao, Wu, and Sun styles of Tai Chi, will share their knowledge and skills. Tai Chi practitioners from all levels, including beginners, will benefit from this opportunity to learn and practice directly with the Grand Masters. The five masters that will be teaching at this event are Chen Zhen Lei, Yang Jun, Zhang Zhen Chan, Ma Hai Long, and Sun Yong Tian. You don't even have to be an experienced Tai Chi practitioner to attend. Whether you're a health promotion planner, healthcare provider, personal trainer, martial artist, physical education instructor, or school administrator, all are welcome to attend. Don't miss this opportunity to train directly under the masters. For more information to register for Directly from the Source, just go to www.taichisymposium.com or you can email info@taichisymposium.com.
Okay, we're back. All right, we have Lisa calling in all the way from Australia via Skype. So let's pray. This is a Mercury retrograde, so I want everyone listening to keep their fingers crossed, send prayers, send Reiki, and that we have a great connection. I know sometimes I say that I have bad connections between myself here and another person living in New York, but great connections when I have anyone calling in from Australia, let's say. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. I didn't want to make a fool of myself. I just told the audience if I call someone here in New York, a lot of times I have all kinds of Skype problems and issues, but whenever I've spoken to you or when I've spoken to Franz, Stina via Skype, we have great conversations and no glitches, no cutouts, no problems. But, you know, Brooklyn or Queens or any other place in New York, I keep getting cut off. We get static. All kinds of things happen.
Isn't that funny? I think the spirit guides like a trip to Oz. That's what it is.
I think so. But anyway, so you're here. We connected. We have, for the moment, for the hour, let's say, thwarted Mercury retrograde and the solar flares and whatever else is going on now. I have to thank you so much for being my guest this evening.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a great honor to speak with you and a great honor to always share about Reiki, always.
Yeah, I know you're as passionate about Reiki as I am. It's Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
We love it. We love it so much. You know, I'm going to just kind of let you start yourself telling the audience how you started your Reiki journey, what sent you in the direction of Reiki.
Wow. I guess like just about everybody that finds their way to Reiki or more to the point is called by Reiki feels that their journey is a unique and individual one and a huge thing. And I guess it is, but everybody has a similar story. I found this when speaking to other Reiki practitioners, it's a calling. It finds you. That's the weird thing. But for me personally, my passion and connection, I guess, has always been animals, always. Even when I was a little girl, my poppy used to look after me. I guess you call a grandpa over there. And he used to walk me in a pram. I might have been two years old. He used to walk me in a pram from the apartment where we lived to the local park, about maybe 100 meters away.
That's like a baby carriage, right? You guys call it a pram. We call it a carriage or a stroller.
Yeah.
Okay.
And out of the blue, each day, this big dog, this huge Airedale dog, appear from the neighborhood and walk beside my pram and my carriage, you know, and sit there beside it while my poppy swung me on the swings and hang about until he walked us back home. And when we were home safe, he went. And nobody seemed to know who owned this dog, and nobody particularly, he wasn't very friendly to anybody. So that was a kind of a strange thing right there. And then right through my life, I didn't give it a second thought, but my best friends were dogs. And I used to connect and communicate with them, and I knew what was going on and when they weren't well and when they didn't want to play and all this sort of stuff. And I just thought it was par for the course, really. I understood them a lot better than I understood my friends at school. They just confused me all the time with mixed emotions. And I found animals were just so flowy, I guess, for want of a better word, flowy. And so that communication and connection with them has always been there. So then I went through my life, you know, as you do, and you do jobs you don't like and you wonder why you're doing them, and you get into all sorts of trouble as a teenager and so on and so forth. And I took the path of music. That's a great passion and a pilot light of mine. And consequently, I, through my musical career, it brought me to writing this song for animals. And I found myself kind of mixing a blend of animals and music. So how does Reiki come into this? Well, one day I was at, I've always had an interest in spiritual things, and I had an experience happen to me which was rather unpleasant when I shared a flat in Sydney. And I was living in a terrace house, very, very old, a couple of hundred years old. They must have been built when the first settlers came here, I think. And I had a very unpleasant entity attack, and I had no clue what it was. But I knew that I was wide awake. I wasn't dreaming, and I actually had physical contact with this entity, and it was most unpleasant and rather mischievous and terrified the crap out of me, to be honest. So I thought, well, what do I do with this? Oh, there were lights coming on and gas, the you know, flames coming on a stove and all sorts of weird and wonderful things, and the pitch drop. Oh, it was really freak stuff. So, and I knew nothing back then. So I found myself a spiritual church in Sydney, and one thing led to another. And some years later, I'm kind of giving the short version here, I was at a psychic mind-body-spirit event where I live in Queensland, and there was a Reiki practitioner giving free 10-minute Reiki, and I thought, oh, free, great, I'll do that. And as you do. And I said, you know, what happens kind of thing. And she said, look, she explained to me a little about the hands-on, hands-off, and a little about the Reiki energy, and that I was, you know, protected and safe, and that it was a healing energy. And I said, okie dokie, that sounds terrific. So in this very short space of 10 minutes, I had a wonderful healing session with her, and I, at the end of it, I sat up and I said, what is animal Reiki? And she said, I'm animal Reiki. I guess it's Reiki for animals. Why? And I said, well, I just got this really, this voice that said animal Reiki. It didn't say I'm supposed to do it or look for it or go find it. That was all it said, animal Reiki. And
animal
I said,
Reiki,
oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was the message. That was it. So she said, oh, well, I don't really know. So I thought, oh, fair enough. So I started Googling and looking around, and I couldn't find any animal Reiki practitioners at the time in Australia. So I ended up contacting Kathleen Prasad, and I read a lot of her books. And
Kathleen Prasad?
Yeah.
She's going to be a guest in a couple of weeks.
Oh, she is animal Reiki.
Yes, yes, that's the front said. She is animal Reiki. Yeah. Oh, this is
cool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. So I, you know, voraciously bought every book I could order off Amazon on animal Reiki, and I learned so much, and I thought, this is really interesting stuff, you know, I'm into this, I'm going to do this, and I kind of grabbed the dog, and, you know, here we go, and, you know, I had no idea about attunements, I had no idea about anything, and, you know, the dog's looking at me going, what the, you know, so fortunately the energy is far more intelligent than little old me, and my, you know, animals are now are so open to Reiki that, you know, the dog was just looking at me going, it's going to be okay. It's all
don't
right,
worry.
Mom, you know. Don't worry, you are not crazy. It's okay. So anyway, the real foray for me into Reiki was I was driving my car, and a couple cars in front of me hit a pair of rainbow lorikeets, and killed one of them. And
what kind of animal is that? A rainbow lorikeet.
Rainbow lorikeet is like a small parrot, and
okay.
Very, very colored. You know, very colorful, reds and blues and greens and. A very beautiful parrot we have in Australia. And so this one that had been killed was killed instantly, and the cars kept driving, and I stopped. And something happened to me, and I immediately took on the energy and the anxiety of the remaining bird, and I couldn't breathe. I panicked. I had a complete anxiety attack. I was feeling grief, loss, stress, nausea. It was like watching my husband get hit by a car. I don't think I will ever find the words ever to explain what happened. And I thought, oh my Lord, what is happening to me?
Right.
And so I decided I took a good time before I could start that car up again.
Mm-hmm.
And I got home and I did a meditation, and I took myself to my power animals, and I said, what just happened? And that is when they said one of my power animals just said to me, animal Reiki. And I thought, oh, I get it. And that was when I decided to take the path of becoming a Reiki practitioner and eventually a Reiki master and animal Reiki practitioner. And now I'm teaching others this healing energy as best that I can, as much as Reiki will bless me to teach. So that is kind of my story there.
That's amazing. That really is amazing. Wow.
And I've had so many animals come to me in my meditations, in my sleep, and, you know, just tell me what to do. And you know, it's a funny thing because I thought that animal Reiki was about helping the animals, but the more I've gone into it, the more the animals are saying, no, we're okay. We need you to help the people. The people will help us. You've got to get to the people and show them, teach them. And in turn, they will know how to do more to change the world in the way that it's currently heading and to bring back to the connection of all. So it's the people that the animals want helped.
Well, I think they know, well, maybe they know, it's becoming very alarming. I mean, I've been around the block quite a few times, and I'm not a young chicken. but I'm noticing that the more I live, the longer I live, the more I'm seeing animals being horrifically, inhumanely murdered, slaughtered, killed. And I sit here and I shake my head at times going, what is going on? They're killing wolves. They're killing elephants. They're killing lions. They're killing any animal they can, and in the most horrific of ways, and I don't really understand this. We should be able to live and coexist with the animal world. I mean, it's like people with deers. It's like, oh, I live upstate. I live in a very rural area or whatever, but I don't want this deer coming on my property. God forbid, you know, it's going to eat some of my bushes or my lovely flowers. What's the big deal? I don't understand how we're becoming haters of animals.
Well, I don't know that we're becoming haters of animals, but what we have become is separatist. And we view ourselves as a species as being superior over. It's not just animals that are suffering. It's also the plants and the rivers and the oceans. It's Pachamama, it's the earth that's also suffering at our hands. And the thing is that we can take this back thousands and thousands of years where we all had the same level of acceptance, connection, communication, and understanding. But over time, as human beings developed, unfortunately, we also developed ego. And when you create a society that is structural and has tiers of power, and I don't mean tiers of crime, although that can come into it, but tiers of levels, then that immediately creates greater than and lesser than. And we are trying to gain power. We are clutching at straws. We are slipping away, so far away from our connection with animals and with the earth and with all things that are created equal, that our tremendous fear is causing us to create pain and injury to others so that it gives us a false sense of power that we can control. And until we understand that this belief that we are more than, that we have control over, until this false belief is faced and nullified, and the only way that that can be done is by reconnecting with our higher selves and understanding that all things are equal and that all suffering and pain inflicted on anything, on anyone, on any being at any level is a mirror to what we are reflecting back to ourselves and society. Until we realize that, this will continue. When we do realize that we are all one, and we do realize that everything that we put out is what we are doing to ourselves, then we will stop.
Yeah, I just hope we realize it sooner rather than later, because it's really starting to look ugly out there. And I feel that sometimes I feel that things are getting so much worse. And I remember the old saying, you know, something, it's got to get worse before it gets better. I think right now we're kind of in the grips of it's really getting worse. So hopefully it will turn around soon. Uh-oh, I think we lost. Oh, no, we lost Lisa. Oh, no. Let's see if I can get her back here. Lisa, if you're listening to me, we've lost you. You dropped out. My board here says that you dropped, and hopefully we can get you back on. Ah, Mercury retrograde. All right, I think I see you. Okay. You're back.
Yeah, I'm back. That was a very interesting point at which spirit disconnected us.
Yeah, what was the last thing you heard me say?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No, I finished what I had to say, and that was all I heard.
Oh, no wonder, because when I was finished saying what I said, I'm like, she's not saying anything. Wait a minute. And I looked at the board and went, oh, because she's not here. I was saying, it looks as though things are getting worse. And the saying is, something has to get worse before it gets better. But like right now, I feel we're in the throes of things getting worse.
Well, you will know, Rose, that within Reiki, when you give a healing treatment, more often than not, the client will experience what is called a healing crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that, as you know, that means that all the negative and icky stuff that was causing the crisis in the first place is disturbed and comes to the surface, and must be disturbed to come to the surface before it can be expelled. And this is very much what is happening now. This treatment of animals and treatment of fellow beings and treatment of plants and the earth has been happening for very, very, very long time. But it seems now that it is only happening recently and only getting worse recently. But the reason that that seems to be is because it is being brought to light, and because wolves have been shot forever and a day, and elephants and tigers, and all of these animals have been suffering for a very long time. But many people that either did not know or were not interested, or it did not affect them on a empathetic or a sympathetic or a spiritual level, are now being awoken to that. And more of this information is being brought to light like a healing crisis, so that it can be exposed, so that it can be stopped, so that it can be changed. The animals understand what is happening. They understand and accept. But what they need to happen is for us to understand what we are doing, and for us to accept that it is no longer acceptable. And that cannot occur until it has been brought to light.
Right. You know, it's funny. I love the way animals accept Reiki. They mm-hmm. just surrender to the energy. And
oh, yeah.
I, you know, like my, not the cat that I have now, well, she does her own little thing with Reiki. She's so funny, Pashed. That's my black cat. But I had a cat prior to Pash. He was a white cat. His name was Rascal. And he used to love to give me Reiki, because I would be lying down on the couch and he would come up. And I was laughing one time telling a friend of mine, I said, you know, he does bios and scanning on my body first. Because he would come up on the couch and he would scan my body. He would start at either my toes or at my head or whatever. But he would walk along until he completed the scan of my entire body. And then wherever he got a hit, he would come to that particular place and literally throw his whole body on me. And he would stay there. And I would feel it. I'm like, this cat is giving me Reiki. This is crazy.
Right, right.
But he was. Yeah. And now my girl Pash, Rascal's no longer with us. And I noticed, she's only a year and a half, but the past couple of months, whenever I have a client and I'm in session, she likes to come in and she'll hop up on the table. And the last two classes I did, she kept coming around during the attunement process. So oh my God, this cat wants to be attuned. I haven't done it yet, but we'll see, you know, how the spirit behooves me. One of these days I might just attune her, you know.
Well, speaking of behoovement, there are horses that are Reiki masters.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my clients who, a dog, I literally term him a dog. He was definitely a master in a dog's outfit. He was one of my greatest teachers and my client. And he crossed over exactly 1 year ago today. And he was a beautiful Siberian husky.
Oh.
Yeah. And he had so many illnesses and diseases. It was indescribable, his courage. And what he used to do, he had been given 3 weeks to live by the time I was called in from the specialist vets. And his person called me and said, I'm beside myself. He's been given 3 weeks to live. I don't know what to do. Can you help? And I said, well, I can come. I said, understanding that Reiki is always serves for the highest good, if that be to heal or in the crossing over process. And that was fine. She accepted that. Well, my journey with this dog was absolutely phenomenal. He showed me things that I shared with his person that nobody could have known. And one thing that she shared with me was that she used to take him and a few of her friends used to take, they used to get together and take their huskies all for a weekend away. And they were at this place one time in particular where there was a horse in the paddock below the house. And the horse was not well. He had colic. And when a horse has colic, they need to be walked around a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. So they're all up in the house and all the Siberian huskies and their parents are all sitting around having a cool time and someone piped up and said, where is Keto? And don't know. So they went looking for Keto and they saw Keto and where he was down in the paddock with the horse, walking the horse around with his mouth on its rug.
Oh, and my God.
And he was dragging the horse, making the horse walk along around and around the paddock. And this is just one story of Keto. When Rosa used to walk in a local park, there'd be pit bulls and Staffordshire bull terriers and all sorts of dogs that were not particularly sometimes great around other dogs. They would come up to Keto and they would lick his nose and walk away. And there are so many stories I could tell you on this one animal alone, but I was humbled in his presence, and I still am. And it's such an honor to work. I have met a few of these master teachers in my animal Reiki practice. And what the animal kingdom can teach us with regards to healing and love and judgment is something that I think we as human beings have come here to learn and what it teaches us. So, yeah, it's such a powerful journey, powerful journey.
Well, it's very funny that you said this was a husky because I have passed because I went to adopt a husky. That makes no sense. But
Went for a dog and came home with a cat.
Right. My girlfriend's a volunteer at Last Hope. They rescue animals. They're here in Wantagh and on Long Island. And they had gotten in. She goes there every Thursday night. As a matter of fact, she's there now volunteering, doing her work. And she works with the dogs. And she said, oh, this beautiful, gorgeous husky came in. She said, she's so pretty. And she just had puppies. And, you know, she needs a home. Can't you please? And the funny thing is, you know, huskies have that wolf-like appearance to their faces.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, yeah. I always said if I ever got a dog, I'd like to get, you know, a husky because of the wolf-like resemblance. So let me go. You know, she sent a picture, and this dog, I don't know if it's normal for huskies to have blue eyes, but this dog had the most beautiful blue eyes. And the markings on her face, she was gorgeous. She was absolutely gorgeous. So I went down to see her, and I guess because it's all volunteer, the way that they brought out the dog and had me, you know, sitting with the dog, they had it in the reception area, and people were going in and out and walking around, and I couldn't get a feel of how the dog liked me or, you know, were we bonding? Was there a connection, a possible good connection, bad connection? I just couldn't get a handle on it because of the distractions. So I'm looking at this dog, and it dawned on me. I'm like, I never home. You know, I'm always out and doing and working, and huskies really need to be running, you know, exercise, running, walking. I mean, they're going to have a large yard, but still, I'm going to just put the dog out in the yard and leave it like that? I can't do that. I'm one person. I'm not a family. So I looked into this dog's gorgeous, beautiful blue eyes, and I said to her, I'm not going to do this to you out of selfish reasons. You're beautiful. I love you. I'd love nothing more than to live with you, but you really need two people or at very, you know, best couple of kids, like a family of four or five, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not going to do this to you. God forbid they tell me or I hear, oh, you know, no one's come by to adopt this dog. You know, we've got to do something. If somebody told me you were either going to have to be adopted or it was going to be the end of your days, I would come get you. But we're going to hope for a family to adopt you. And she looked in my eyes and looked like she understood me. And then at that point, I said, okay, we were talking about how you have a lot of black cats because no one wants to adopt black cats. Let's go see the black cats. And that time Ms. Pasht came home with me. Because I've always wanted a black cat.
Fantastic.
Rascal, as white as he was, he was white on the outside, but it always occurred to me that he had the soul of a black cat. Because anytime I was doing any kind of ritual, or if I was doing any kind of energy work or any type of magic, or he was right there. Oh, we're going to do something. We're going to, you know.
cats love Reiki. The biggest challenge I find with clients of mine, people, clients that have cats, is trying to keep that cat off jumping off onto the bed, onto the Reiki table. Dogs will lie under. You know, my people clients, 99% of them have dogs or cats or animals sharing their house and home. So I always say, look, no, don't lock them out. They're welcome. They enjoy the energy. But, you know, the dog is fine. The dog will lie under the table and cruise. The cat always wants to jump up on the Reiki table and be the center of attention and, hey, this is all about me. Her later, you know.
or they just like to be up there and help, because Pasht generally, she'll jump on the table, but she always puts herself at the bottom of the table, usually right. next to the person's ankles or knees for whatever reason.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And most people, when people come in, the first thing I say to them is, do you have a problem with animals or cats in particular? I need to know this. And they go, no, you know, or sometimes people come and say, yeah, I really don't like them. So I will lock her in the dining room. I have, you know, double doors on my dining room, so I'll put her in the dining room. And this is a funny story. I felt so bad for this poor guy. Jacob, if you're listening, I still feel so badly for you. Jacob is not a big fan of cats. He's terrified of cats. And he told me this. So I put her in the dining room, and we took Jacob inside the treatment room and started giving him Reiki. And, oh, he was 3/4 of the way through, and he was so at peace, and he was so relaxed. And she was like, well, it was like a caged animal because, you know, but in essence, she was.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
She was on the dining room door. She was trying to get out the door. She was sliding her paws underneath, and she was playing with whatever she could get her hands on that was in the hall. And I hear stuff moving around and things going on. I'm like, oh, God, she's going to, like, go cuckoo any minute. So I went over. I left him, you know, just ruminating in the Reiki on the table. And I went and she's like, berserk. But I said, all right, I'll let you up. You have to be good. So she came out and she walked around, you know, the living room. And I said, oh, she's going to be good. She's chill. She didn't come out of here and go running straight to the treatment room. Okay, all good. I go back. I, you know, go back to my Reiki. All is fine, except all of a sudden, at one point, I almost died because she jumped on, out of nowhere, she jumped on the table right next to his head. And this poor guy came flying up out of his body. I mean, literally out of his body. onto the ceiling. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's almost an hour's worth of work down the drain. Because now he's tied put her back in the dining room and came back, and I gave him some stones to hold, some mangano calcite, which is a wonderful stone for calming people down and relaxing them and soothing them. And here, hold these. Went back to giving Reiki again, and, you know, he was okay, but... Oh, God.
That's funny. Animals have such a great sense of humor.
You know, I don't know if this happens with dogs, but I tend to find this with cats. If they know you don't like them,
they're right there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're like, okay, you're going to get over this.
Yeah, it's like a dog.
Crack me up.
A dog is like, all right, you don't like me, that's okay. I'm okay with that, you know. I love you anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love you. It's all that unconditional love. I love you, but, you know, you don't want to know me, that's okay. Cats, you don't like me? What do you mean you don't like me? Here, I'm in your face. Look at me.
I know, that's funny. The cat just looks at you and you can just see it going, what?
Yeah. How does she not like me? I mean, I am superior, you know. But crazy.
Yeah. They are crazy.
Yeah.
They're funny beings.
And I do a lot of distance Reiki on cats. A lot of people contacting my cat this, my cat that, and do the distance Reiki. And I do. Not so much with dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I was very lucky. This was a Kentucky Derby years ago. Mm-hmm. And... I wasn't firing on all levels that time. I don't know. I had missed something because I got an email from somebody who sent a picture of the horse and said, could you please send healing Reiki to my horse? He's got a fever, an infection, what have you. I said, okay, sure. So I look at the picture of the horse, and this is how disconnected my brain was at the time. I'm looking at the horse going, oh, isn't that cute? They've got him dressed up like a racehorse.
Oh, dear.
They have him dressed up like a... Okay. So I sent the Reiki myself. It was a Thursday night. I started treating the horse. And then on Friday was having a healing circle, a Reiki circle here. And I ran out wallet-sized photos of the horse and gave each person in the circle a photo of the horse. And I said, you know, guys, hold this in between your palms, and we're going to send Reiki via a mawashi to the horse. So for those of you guys who don't know what a mawashi is, it's when a circle of people get together and they each connect with their hands, and then the Reiki is sent from that circle to whoever the subject of the healing is. So we did that, and at the end of the circle, I was up late that night, and it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and something said to me, you might want to Google the name of this horse. So I'm like, okay. So I Google the name of the horse. And I find out that this horse is a contender in the Kentucky Derby. And I'm like, oh, he wasn't dressed up like a racehorse. He is a racehorse.
Yeah, right.
The next day in the morning, I came down and I Google the horse's name to see what's going on. And they said, I'm not going to say his name, but they're saying, you know, the horse was out on the track. The fever had broke. The infection was gone. And he was out on the track preparing for the following week's Kentucky Derby. So he got to run in the Derby, and that was a lifelong dream of the trainers to have, you know, one of his horses run in the Derby. And he didn't win, but he came in, you know, he came in a nice position, but he got to run the Derby. And I was like blown away because I knew when they said the fever broke, the infection was gone, I knew that was the Reiki.
Oh, absolutely. It's amazing the healing capacity that it has. It's just boundless, endless, so powerful. So powerful. And I love how it also, you know, Reiki energy goes where it needs to go. It finds that. And we are really just vessels for this. That's one of the things that I think was one of the greatest lessons for me becoming a Reiki practitioner was that I always thought that, you know, starting out, I thought that Reiki was something that you did, something that you performed, something that you know, but realizing as you go down the Reiki path that as a Reiki practitioner, you are merely a vessel for the energy. And as a Reiki master, you are not mastering Reiki, but rather you've made the choice for Reiki to be your master, to live the Reiki way and incorporate that into everything that you do in life. And the five precepts, are something that I don't know for you, but for me have changed my life profoundly. And for our listeners who don't know what the five Reiki precepts are, it's the five Reiki ideals that you live by when you become a Reiki practitioner. And that is just for today, I will not anger. Just for today, I will not worry. Just for today, I will count each of my blessings. Just for today, I will do my work honestly. Just for today, I will be kind to every living being. And by saying those Reiki ideals each and every morning, you can not only get through your day with great joy, but you can also get through your day trusting and knowing that everything is perfect. Things that look good, things that look bad, it's all perfect. It's all as it should be. And you ride with that knowing that everything is in its place and you can just be. And that is the amazing thing for me that I have gotten out of this journey. How about you, Rose? Would you agree to that?
Oh, definitely. It's like, you know, we don't realize how many times, you know, when we get angry and when we worry about things, the amount of energy, those two emotions, anger and worry, how much they suck out energy from our bodies, from our minds, from our entire aura, you know, the etheric fields in Reiki, the physical, the emotional, the mental, the spiritual. Worry and anger will deplete all of the energy in those fields. And then, you know, we're left to do what? We don't feel right. We're sleepy. We're tired. We're out of balance. So those are two, and those are the first two presenting. Those are two very important things.
Yes, and not forgetting.
And then, as I said, be grateful. A lot of people, you know, me, 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 get. It's all about getting in me. And it's like, you know, be grateful. Every once in a while, say thank you. And I think there was something floating around saying, if you only say one prayer a day, and the one prayer you say is thank you, you know, that's prayer. Being grateful and saying thank you is a prayer. And the working hard, and, you know, yes, work hard, and work hard mean do your work diligently and whatever, but work hard. I think what Sri Sensei meant by that was work hard on yourself, because that was the one thing he always did. He was always striving for personal betterment and for spiritual growth, personal growth and spiritual growth. Because a lot of people think that Reiki is just the hands on the body, hands on healing, and they don't realize or they don't know that it's really a method, as he said, method of inviting blessings into your life. It's a method of growing personally and spiritually.
And it's also a method of inviting that into others' lives, because thoughts, as we all now know, it's not an airy-fairy heebie-jeebie thing. Thoughts are physical things. They are energy. Thoughts are manifested energy. So when we are angry and when we worry, then we put that out there in our field of energy, and those that come in contact with us are absorbed by that energy, and then they start to feel the same thing. It's like, when I'm happy, you're happy. When I'm down, you're down. It's a ripple effect. And this brings me back almost full circle to what you mentioned very early on about why are we doing this to animals, why the suffering, why the this, why the that. And we're all getting so very angry. But why? What is happening when we get so angry is we are creating a negative force of energy out there in the world, and nothing can heal in this darkness. Only healing can be taken place in the light. And so rather than be angry and worry about all these terrible things and atrocities that are happening, what we must do is we must refocus our thinking, take control of our thoughts, and refocus our thinking to seeing these things stop, to seeing the animals healing, to seeing the animals free to roam where they need to roam, to seeing an acceptance of sharing the land. If you don't want deer in your backyard, that's okay. Put up a fence.
Right.
That deer can't get through, you know. So there's, and the deer are fine if they can say, that's fine. That's where your plot is. You do your thing. This is our plot. This is where we do our thing. So rather than focus on the terrible things that are happening, we need to focus on how we can make these things heal. And by putting those thoughts out there, we manifest it. That's the key. We manifest what we think. Good or bad. Key.
Right. Key. And a lot of people do not realize, I mean, we do because it's what we do. We're energy workers. We work with energy. People who are into the martial arts, people who are into exercising and doing Tai Chi and Qigong and you know, things like that. So, you know, in these practices where we learn about energy, but the average everyday person does not realize how exactly powerful energy is and how it moves and how it travels, and that there really is no distance, because I can send you Reiki over there in Australia now and you'll feel it and you'll get it. And you could send it to me here and I'll feel it and I'll get it. And both of us can send Reiki to somebody in China and they'll get it.
Sorry. I wanted to say here, I don't know if any of your listeners have seen a documentary called Wake Up, and it's about a guy from Douglasville, Georgia. His name is Jonas Elrod, and he's just an ordinary dude with a mohawk and a musician, you know, kicking about, and had an awakening where all his chakras just exploded open, and he can see energies, entities, he can see everything. And this documentary takes him on a journey because he really doesn't want what he calls this curse, this gift. And part of his journey takes him to a university that has had an experiment in place for some years now, and a number generator, an energy number generating unit, for want of a better explanation, has been placed in several countries around the globe, and it runs digitally, like 10101010, and it responds to the energy of its surroundings. And when everything is fine and calm, this 10110 pumps back this information, this constant, to the computers in the university. However, with what has happened is with great events such as the passing of crossing over of Lady Diana, the events of 9/11, what this has shown is that these numerical data, 1010, changed, and the flow changed dramatically before the events actually occurred. And so what that showed was that tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people's energy actually preconceived these events prior, just hours before the events happened. And what that shows is that our powerful energies, our thoughts, our consciousness, we're not even aware of the power of our consciousness, of what it can do. It changed this number generator to such a random state that it was the results absolutely blew away the professors at this university that could not believe that the energy alone, our thoughts alone, this was just based on before the events were happening, let alone the responses after the events occurred. And it showed, in a sense, that we can change. Not only can we respond to these events, but we can actually change events on a global scale by our conscious thinking. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal experiment. Phenomenal.
That is definitely the case. I mean, before when you were talking about energy, it made me think of the experiments that are taking place with the water crystals. Masaru Emoto, who is doing the experiments with the water, you know, you say the water, I hate you, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. Again, energy and the globe. I mean, the world is basically more water than it is anything else. And
you know,
that
it's
vibration.
That's it. And the interesting thing is, you know, you said it earlier, Rose, people, we don't get how powerful we are. And it's not that, you see, we are responding. We're going, why is the world the way it is? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why is? The reason is because we created it. And we created it in a response to fear. And the fear has been generated by the powers that be that are at the very top of the tier system of humanity. And the reason they created this fear? To control, to give them power. And we swallow this. These events, these things, this fear, this control, all of these things were created by us. And
right,
we can
out
of our own fear. And our fear was created by the powers that be. And the thing is that we can uncreate it. We can uncreate it. We can change and create another existence we don't believe that. And that's a very sad thing.
Right.
Because there is evidence out there to show now, to prove scientifically, mind, that we have created our environment.
Right. Because, again, I don't remember who said this. I don't know if this was Einstein or it's an Einstein quote. All perception is a gamble.
That's right.
Because you perceive differently than I do, than the next person does, than the next person does. And it's all your beliefs and you know, what you've learned,
yes.
what you've unlearned.
Yes. Yes.
You know, there's a lot of variables here.
Yes, you know a great example of that, Rose? A great example. If you're walking down the street and you're carrying a bunch of books, you know, or groceries or whatever, your hands are full, right? And you're walking down the street and someone bangs into you and you drop everything. You know, you stand up. What do you say? What would your first reaction be?
I don't know.
Okay,
Someone's
walking along, looking at their iPod, playing their music, not looking where they're going. They're banging into you.
Yeah. Well, I guess you say, watch where you're walking, or why don't you look where you're walking, or something like that.
Okay, exercise in perception. Exercise in perception here. What if they're blind?
Exactly.
What would you say then?
I don't know.
Exactly. So, very good. That is an excellent exercise in perception.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's mm-hmm. amazing. Yeah, and the other thing is, I mean, I come from a psychic family, so it's second mm-hmm. nature to me, okay? But, and I've always believed this, you know, I never really got all choked up and crazy at funerals because we're in, most of the people think this is finality, this is the end, it's done, it's over, never again, this person who I loved is gone, and I'll never see them again, and I'll never connect to them again, and I never saw it like that. And explaining death to someone once, I said to them, you must realize that we are all energy. We are all comprised of energy, and energy never dies. So what does that mm-hmm. mean? If energy never dies and we are energy, we never die. The physical
That's
body,
right.
the vessel that contains our, I call it essence or our soul, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the physical vessel dies. And, you know, can't be used anymore. So, okay, it wore out, can't be used anymore, and it goes away. However, the soul, the essence, continues. But
always.
I think because we all are brought up in it's either black and white, there is no such thing as coming back from the dead or returning from the dead or psychic communication or communication on another level than your physical brain. Yeah, there's a lot, again, it's perception. There's a lot of stuff involved here, but if you take it down to it's all energy, there is. You know, and people
We're spirits. We're spirits living in a human body, and I liken that to, you know, if you're you need to turn yourself up because your car is the vehicle that will get you there. And that is a learning place.
Oh, Lisa, I'm sorry.
You
just sounded like chopped salad. Can you repeat the last thing you said?
Yeah, sure. Am I coming through clear now?
Yeah, now you're great.
Okay. The human body, to me, is like, I liken it to, it's a vehicle. I liken it to if you're in your lounge room and you need to go to the markets to get some food or whatever, you hop in your motor car, because that's your vehicle to get you to where you need to go. And our human bodies are merely our vehicles to get us to where we need to go to learn. We as spirits come here to learn on the earth plane. The earth plane is just one of many, 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 many planes. And if anyone has ever seen someone passing away, you will see when the spirit leaves the body, it leaves a shell. like a cicada, you know?
Right.
It leaves
right.
a shell, and that person is no longer the person. So you have, you know, the human body no longer exists, but the spirit continues, always has, always will.
Well, the best proof that I received personally was when my mom passed away. She had Alzheimer's, and she had had the Alzheimer's for about 3 years. And the last year of her life, she didn't know who I was. We were visiting one night, and I said, "Do you know who I am?" And she looked at me, and she smiled so sweet and said, "No." And I was crushed. I was like, "Oh, God, my mother doesn't even know who I am." And there she was, alive and well. And the first thing I thought was, "Oh, my God, I've lost my mother." And it that really, to me, felt like a death. It was like, she's gone. I'm never going to get her back, because if she doesn't recognize me now, this disease has taken over to a point where she's not going to anymore. Mm-hmm. And in the physical body, yes, it was true, she never did recognize me again. However, 3 weeks after my mom had crossed over, sitting in my kitchen, and I don't know what I was thinking of, or I said out loud, "Yeah, I think I should do this," or something. And the next thing I heard was my mom's voice, "Yeah, Rose, you should do that." And I almost fell out of the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Mom, you're back. You're okay. You've gotten over there. And you're back, mm-hmm. and we can communicate again." So it was like, you know, I very much preferred her out of her vehicle now than in it.
Well, that's wonderful, because, you know, she's no longer suffering the sufferings of the earth plane. And, it's not, you know, it's, I think that the proof comes, when you say the word proof, it's, the proof comes when you connect with your higher self. That's all the proof that is ever needed, because once that happens, once that occurs, then you realize that everything that exists on earth exists in the spirit plane. And if you lose them from the earth plane, you're losing them from one plane. You're not losing them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It was the greatest feeling. And
I love how they show you things. I love how they show you that thing, you know, little things. My grandfather was, you know, pretty much raised me, and I just adored him. And when I was little, I couldn't say grandfather or grand, you know, I don't know. So I ended up calling him Gar. G-A-R.
Gar.
Gar. Gar. Just Gar. I don't know. And I'm the only one that ever called him Gar. And after he passed over, I was in the room, you know, and I said to him, thanks for everything. Thanks for being here. Thanks for teaching me, and thanks for this journey and for looking after me in this, you know, this lifetime. And I hope that you're going to show me that you're still around, because I'm going to miss you. And for the next few weeks, I, you know, drive my car, and I'm daydreaming, as you shouldn't do in a car, you know. And
right.
I kind of glance across. You there?
I'm here.
Okay. And I'd glance across, and I would see the number plate, G-A-R, just come past me. And I'd know I'd smile, and I'd go, yeah, you're there. Or I'd turn the wireless, the radio on in my car, which I never do, because, you know, I've daydreamed bad enough. So turning the radio on, and I'd hear a song that he loved, you know? And I just knew. I said, I love you guys. I love how you always just throw us that little thing to let us know that everything's tickety-boo and you're out there and you're watching there. You're still around, you know? It's nice.
It's really funny, because I have a friend of mine, and years ago, right after I had gotten to know this man, maybe I knew him 6 months to a year, and one day his father came to visit me from spirit, and I had just finished cleaning the house. I was a sweaty mess, and I'm taking a breather in the kitchen, you know, getting some cold water, and I feel spirit coming through. I feel someone behind me, and as is my habit, I always say, who are you and what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, my name is so-and-so, and could you just give me a little bit of light? So I said, okay, mm-hmm. not a problem, you know, and I was like, oh, my God. So this was my friend's father.
Oh.
And saying, why is he coming to me? Why am I don't like giving anybody light, but this is, you know, odd. So
yeah,
I did not tell my friend this story, and I felt really guilty kind of withholding information, but I did not tell my friend this story for about a year and a half. And because I said, he's going to think I'm either out of my mind or that I'm making this up. Or that I'm making this up with an ulterior motive for whatever reason, okay? So I'll just keep my mouth shut. But this one night, we were having dinner together, and I felt like someone pushed my back, like somebody would have pushed you in the back and say, go, you know, like, just go.
Yeah.
And I am like, all right, I got to tell this guy. So I'm like, listen, I have something to tell you. And I've been, you know, kind of holding on to this for a long time, year and a half. And I told him. And I thought, okay, here it comes, you're crazy. But he looked at me. And it was weird because then the waiter came with the check. And I saw him signing the slip from the credit card. But he was never lifting his head back up. So I said, something's wrong. So I said, are you okay? Mm-hmm. And he looked at me. And when he looked at me, I had tears in his eyes. And now I'm panicky because now I'm like, you know, why has he got tears in his eyes? Why is he all choked up? The song that came on the sound system in the restaurant right after I had told him about the father's invitation was a song that he and his father used to sing together.
Oh, yeah.
When he was a boy. Oh. And he lost his dad when he was around 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh my God. So this is his dad's message to him saying, son, this woman is not out of her mind or making anything up. This really, it really was me.
Yeah.
So
mind-blowing. It is mind-blowing.
You mentioned music. You know, you're a Reiki master teacher and all these other wonderful things, transformational coach, spiritual counselor, animal, you know, pet bereavement, you know, this is great. You're also, cherry on the sundae, you're also a musician.
Yeah.
Now, how did that come about?
I've always been a musician. Always, as long as I can remember. I write songs. I lived as a musician for many years, and I did learn how to play the violin. I wanted to play the violin, and then I just self-taught myself a few more instruments from that point. And I do have an album out, and I've written... Some of my songs have done quite well. I give them to people that need songs, maybe for their charities and things like that. And but the one, you know, the one that I love the most is a song called You, which I wrote specifically for animals. Or maybe, you know, I like to say that I channel this music. It's already created. Everything is already created anyway. So, you know, we just channel these things according to the talents and gifts that spirit bestows upon us, that God bestows upon us. So for me, it's the gift of being able to write and create songs and music. So
wow, that's amazing. I lived as a musician all my life. Well, I lived as a musician for 27 years. My dad was a musician. And
Yeah, music is a beautiful gift. I can't paint for nuts, you know. I mean, everyone's got their gifts. I stand and look at paintings and everyone's oohing and ahhing, and I'm thinking, I don't see it, you know. But I have no talent in that field. But, music is great. I love it. And, I'll continue to do it. I'll continue to write and record and do all that sort of stuff. So it's a great part of my life, and I'm very proud of it. Yeah.
So if people want to check out your music, you are on CD Baby. They just have to type in your name, Lisa. Well, on CD Baby, you're Lisa J. Aston, correct?
Yeah, I put the J in there just to sort of define the music side, the creative side of me, I
and
guess.
And you're on Reverbnation.
Yeah, and that's Lisa J. Aston as well. So
that's
I think
also
it's Lisa
J. Aston. Okay.
Yeah.
And then we got you also www.lisajaston.webs.com. Is that also a music site?
Yeah, that's kind of my whole music life. It's weird. It's like being split in two, but gradually, ever so slowly, the two are melding together. I've been asking Spirit, you know, how do I pull this music and Reiki together, you know, the result of which was the song You. So,
right.
I'm really proud of that.
And then we've got you at www.reiki-bylisa.com.
Yes.
And we got you, you're on Twitter, you are Creative Lisa J on Twitter, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then there's www.spreaker.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they should look for Reiki by Lisa over there, right?
Yeah.
And then they can find you on Facebook, of course.
Yes. It's very confusing. I'm under Lisa Aston Michael on Facebook. Yeah.
Okay.
And,
go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, Michael is my married name, but it's also, of course, Archangel Michael, who I work with as much as I possibly can. So I'm kind of glad I married someone with the surname Michael.
Yeah, nothing is coincidence.
No, it is not. It's wonderful. So, Lisa Aston Michael is my Facebook name.
Cool. And, well, it's funny, you with the music and like me, I spend most of my life being what they call a closet psychic because I would not, when I was younger in my teens and I would tell people, you know, I see auras and I hear spirit and all of this stuff, they were like, oh, no, you got to shut that down. Don't tell anybody. I'm like, well, what? And they're like, oh, they'll lock you up because they'll say you're crazy. Well, talk about fear. So.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we go in 40 years and everybody's afraid. And I would come out of the closet only upon request in desperation. If I had friends who said,
right.
Oh, my God, I'm having an expo or a fair and I need a reader, I would begrudgingly say, well, if you can't find anybody, call me. But I have to be your last option. Okay?
Yeah.
And replacing people in like shops. I filled in for a friend of mine once. She was the tarot reader in the metaphysical shop and she couldn't make it, so I filled in. And I would never really make it public. And Lisa, if you're talking, I hear something, but I don't hear anything. Hang on. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay,
Okay.
Now you're back.
Okay.
Yeah, I would never tell anybody openly I was psychic, but it's a good thing that over the last, I'd say really it's the last 5 to 10 years, psychics
right.
are becoming accepted, we're becoming sought after, and so I kind of came out of the closet, and I never really would mention it to anyone, and I had the hardest time giving Reiki clients messages, because when we open that channel and we're working on an intuitive level, you do get messages to people. I'm sure you know this.
Right.
Okay, so like, how do you tell a client, I've got an intuitive message for you, a psychic message for you, please don't think I'm crazy.
You know what? You know what? You just tell them. Because I so get where you're coming from. I did that for a long time. I would get these messages. I'll give you one example. When I was working with Keto, the husky, he showed me a baby swimming pool. And you have Mr. Whippy over there, the ice creams in the buckets, the little truck that goes by, and you run out the front and get a little ice cream in a bucket.
Right.
You have
something
that over
like
there?
That. I know they have trucks with ice cream. What they sell, I'm not quite sure of. But, yeah, we have something.
Yeah, well, we have it over here, and it's called Mr. Whippy, you know, and it plays the Greensleeve song. And anywho, I was treating keto, and he showed me this baby pool, and he's in there with a bucket of ice cream and a whippy ice cream. And I thought, and he's saying to me, I want an ice cream. And I'm thinking, oh no, this lady's going to kick me out and just call me crazy, you know? Mm-hmm. And I thought, how am I going to tell this woman that her dying dog wants a Mr. Whippy, you know? And I had all this ego stepped in, you know? So, and in the end I said, Rosa, I have something to tell you, and I'm sorry if it sounds very crackers, but Spirit has asked me to share this. So Keto would like a Mr. Whippy ice cream, just a vanilla one in a bucket, please. And she looked at me and her face went ashen. And I thought, oh no, I'm really in a bad, bad, bad place right now. And she said, I've never told anybody this because the vet would hammer me if they knew, because he's been sick all his life. But she said, Keto loves vanilla ice cream, just plain vanilla in the little bucket. And I haven't got it for him for the last few months because he's been so ill.
Oh, my God.
So there you go. So there you go. So what seems to us off the wall is, you know, it's not for us to judge. So my, you know, I always say when that happens, when you feel, I can't say that, that's just kooky, don't judge it. That's where it comes in, judgment. Don't judge it. Just share.
You know what? I got to thank that show. What the heck was the name of it? The Ghost Whisperer, because she used to walk around town and, you know, get these messages. And she would say to people, you know, hi, I'm so-and-so. And you see, I have this gift. And I'm like, that's a nice way of putting it over, so the person doesn't make you racked out of your mind. So
right.
I would say that. No, I'd say, look, you know, I have this gift. I come from a psychic family and whatever, whatever. And then I would get to the message. Because when I first started doing the spiritual work and I used to do circles and seances and spirit messages, I would get these messages to people there and they wouldn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I just didn't say anything to them, you know. And afterward, I'd be getting these migraine headaches. And my very best friend, Darlene Joseph, who calls in every week, but this week he couldn't call in, he's out partying or whatever. He said to me, are you getting messages to people and you're not giving them to them? I said, well, yeah, because they don't make any sense. That's why you're getting the headaches. And I said, really? Is that the remedy for this? And he's like, yeah. And from that point on, I was like, look, this may make absolutely no sense to you. You may not know what I'm talking about. It may not resonate or connect in your mind now. But somewhere down the road, you know, it'll come to light. And I would just give them the message. And they were like, do it what you want. But I'm getting it out of my system because I'm not going through a migraine. And that's the way I, you know.
Exactly. It's a big hurdle to get past our own egos and our own judgment of the outcome. It's not ours to judge. So once you say, okay, yep, that's it. It's, you know, it makes no sense to me. But then again, you know what? It doesn't have to.
You know, the strangest thing is usually once during the day or a lot of times now during the night, I'll be on Facebook and I'll pull cards for people. They have a 15-minute window to say, pull me a card, please, and I'll pull them a card. And I do it. I don't have the actual deck in hand. I bought the iPhone app for it because it was just more convenient. And as I'm scrolling through the cards, I'll say the person's name out loud, and then I'll scroll through the cards. And I look for the card that shines the brightest to me. And when I put my finger on there, sometimes I'll look at a card and first guess it looks very bright. Then when I start to analyze it and I start to throw logic into the mix, we know by those two statements I'm veering off the road, right? When I go, I don't think, no, never mind thinking. And I'll get yelled at by Spirit because I'll share first impression.
Oh, absolutely.
And those cards are always the ones that are right on target. But like you say, you know, we're so conditioned. I fight with myself and I fight with the spiritual energy or the spiritual message when I start to rationalize, when I start to think, when maybe my ego exactly comes into play. Because how many times since I was born, I've been hearing spirit since I'm three, I'll hear something and Rose will say, oh, no, that's not right. No, of course, I know better than spirit. I know better than the universe. I know better than divine source because I am the almighty Rose.
And here. But look, you know,
and that's where the ego comes in. And that's what I call ego the monster ego. And I always say ego kills. Ego kills.
It does,
people,
because
relationship, communication,
it rationalizes.
The whole thing. Yeah.
It rationalizes. Ego is forever searching for logic. And logic does not exist in the spiritual plane. It exists in the human mind.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, a lot of times, and it was funny because I taught a third level, an advanced Reiki technique level yesterday to one of my level two students. And we're going over her practice and how she's been practicing her Reiki. And I said to her, I'm not big on hands positions. If somebody says to me, I didn't do every hands position or all the way they're laid out, I said, that's okay, that's fine. Because to me, it's an intuitive practice. You start with the five original Usui head positions, and then from there going forward, just let your intuition guide you, as did Sensei Usui. But so many people get caught up in all the hand positions. I didn't do all the hand positions. I didn't turn the client over. And when you think about it, that's all nothing. Mm-hmm. Because we're not one-dimensional. If you've done the whole top of a person's body, trust me, Reiki got to the back of them, you know.
If it can travel thousands of miles, it can sure travel through the room.
Through the entire body, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much the hand positions. I mean, you have to go where it tells you to go. I mean, I've been at someone's head, and then all of a sudden I'm getting pulled down by their left foot. So you have to follow the intuition and follow the Reiki.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and who are we to say this is the way it has to be? It's an intuitive energy.
And we are but a vessel.
Yeah.
We are but a
vessel. It's an intelligent energy. Like you were saying earlier, these people who, you know, they're doing Reiki and they look like they're working so hard at it. You shouldn't have to work hard.
No.
You're just a channel. We're just a vessel. You know.
That's it. You know, the shamans call it the hollow log. You know, that's all we are.
Exactly.
Mm. Well, and using the hand techniques is just to direct the energy, but it'll go where it needs to anyway. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Lisa, I have to tell you before they start to get on me, because we're coming up on a minute and a half left here. It was a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. It's an absolute honor for me to be here. I'm very grateful. Thank you.
And it's an honor to be your friend. We've been friends for a long time now on Facebook, and it was an honor for me to do your show. Lisa has a show. It's the Lisa Aston Show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what are you on? What's your...
Well, that's on Spreaker. Yeah.
Oh, that's on Spreaker. Okay. I knew Spreaker looked familiar to me.
Yeah.
And
It's called The Lisa Aston Show or Reiki by Lisa. You can look at it, either one. Nothing about me seems to be straightforward. It's all very complicated.
Right. I recommend all of you to check out Lisa's show. Thank you so much, Lisa. I'm going to say good night to you. Good night, everyone. We'll be back next week with Pamela Miles.
Thank you so much, Reiki. Thank you so much, Reiki, yes. And thank you, Violet Rose. And I say good day to everybody over there. Bye.
Have
for
a
now.
Great weekend, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.